Hello and welcome to the Florida CPA Today podcast with Mia Thomas, former chair of the FICPA and current director of learning curriculum development for the FICPA. And now it's time to hear from your host, Mia Thomas.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. Today we will talk about turn, pull, shove, catch, the key to supporting women and why it matters. Sounds pretty painful, right? Well, actually, no. With us today is Renee Dabbs, who has her own firm that focuses on helping organizations that are big on ideas but struggle with executing these ideas. Renee, thank you for being with us on our podcast.
Thank you, Mia. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, Renee, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I like to say my story began when, and everybody takes a big sigh because who knows how far back.
There you go.
Oh, big sigh. That's right. You took your sigh. Thank you for that. I want to tell you a little bit about my story and related to this women and the women supporting women. A lot of times in our life, we're in a situation where we have the opportunity to talk to somebody and they give us what we would call very sage advice. And when I was in 11th grade, someone came to me and they said, you know, Renee, you have really strong leadership skills, but one of the things you're going to need to decide in your life is how you want to use those and how you think that those should be utilized to the best of whatever it is that you want to do, because people are going to ask you all the time to do things.
Wow, that is so cool that at 11.
Well, it was cool in a sense that I don't think I completely knew what that meant, right? But what I knew was I needed to take a personal inventory on what gave me joy and made me feel good. And it was when I was in a situation where I could help women, young girls, succeed at what they were trying to achieve. And it's at that point that I made the decision that I wanted to be able to create environments for women to be successful.
Wow, that's really awesome.
So what happens then is, do you live your life mission, right? So I feel confident saying that that was my mission. And then I got into college and it kind of started presenting itself. I led women organizations. I had a chairmanship of a regional women's organization. I focused on women's issues. And I just spent a lot of time getting to know women and figuring out what women needed to be successful. And that will be the theme over and over again. Then I joined Procter & Gamble, a phenomenal company and a great company for women. And in the 80s, when they were bringing in women to management development, really for pretty early on in the process, we were all kind of strewn across the country. And what we all learned pretty quickly is it was a promote from within company. And if we weren't successful, who would there be to promote? And it was at that point we realized that we would need to create these women's networks that would then allow ourselves to support each other and then help the organization or the company understand better how we would need to be supported to be successful.
And isn't that great that an organization like that knew in the beginning to get women involved in management and leadership?
It's successful in a sense that, you know, smart companies who have had long successes understand where they need to go to be relevant, and obviously developing women and keeping them in the forefront of the company's strategic decisions as well as, you know, everywhere in the field would lead that. So one of the things that we did was we formed these women networks. We jokingly say we met in kitchens. It was usually a potluck.
Oh, nice.
There was a lot of social element to it. And we just really, really talked about what would the environment need to look like to be successful. What that was is I wouldn't say the beginning of when I first learned how important it was to have women supporting each other, but it was the most formalized version in the sense that suddenly we were talking about our careers and our compensation and the choices that we would make moving forward that would impact our lives forever. So then I went from P&G and I ran a media firm, and there was a lot of political work. And once again, I was in an industry that really had some opportunities around developing women. And it was at that time I had a chance to focus on getting women to run. But we found out it wasn't just about running for office. It was as much about having an infrastructure to support women. And so I created something called Women Empowering Women in Legislation and Leadership.
Nice. Was that here in Florida?
Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
And what I did was I brought not-for-profit, corporate, political, and government. And I focused on the top 100 C-suite women in those areas and brought them together. And the purpose of this was to create a higher level of acumen in the area of politics and what it would take for women to be successful. We had programming on fundraising, how to run, grassroots, and I'm really proud to say out of that, particular meeting, there's now a women on the Commission on the Status of Women in Pasco County that wasn't there before, and some great women left that meeting and started it. There are at least 4 women in that room that were elected women. Mm-hmm. They are now all elected, and I'm taking full credit for every single one of them.
You should. That's awesome.
And it gives me such joy when I get invitations to fundraisers that are being held by women for women. And what I learned for that is we all know what we want to do, we just don't always know how to do it. And when you create a map for women and say, this is a path, we typically rise to the occasion to support each other.
Well, I have this saying that you don't know what you don't know until you know it. So it's awesome that you put together that programming to share that knowledge with them.
Well, and I will say, in itself, it was a manifestation of women supporting women in my own terms. This was something I started by myself, and my women friends came and, you know, build it and they will come, but they did. And although women really benefited from it, I strongly believe it was really an affirmation for me and the importance of women and their support in pulling this off. So today I own my own firm and I help organizations bring big ideas to results, as you mentioned. And I've had the opportunity to work with women-owned businesses, all sizes, and I continue to see the challenges that women have from a standpoint of just being able to have some people that have gone through what they're going through to talk to, and it sure does help when it's other women. So making those connections.
So that is so awesome. Now, I read a great article in 2015 that referenced you, which I thought was awesome, where a lady was thrown a curve at her firm, which happens to all of us at one time or another. She was pushed out of a situation and made a decision to then pull out of that situation and then rose to an even better place. From your analogy, that sometimes you need to turn, pull, shove, and catch. Now, I'm a true believer in sisterhood and life is better connected. I was the chair when we first had our FICPA Women's Initiative Summit, and it was formed with the love that we celebrate each other. And at the summit, we bring in great speakers, we award women that are experienced, we award women that are emerging leaders in our profession. So you spoke at our FICPA Women's Leadership Summit recently, and I know you've spoken to them before. And you talked on this topic. So why does it matter? Why does it matter that women support each other?
Well, first I want to start and say thank you to you for taking on the effort and the chair position and seeing this as an important focus of the organization. There is nothing that's done about that work that's done accidentally, and it's all very deliberate. And that's what I like to talk about. And I like to talk about I've had a chance to talk to your group 2 different times, and I'd like to say that I love the deliberateness of the group. And one of the things that I enjoyed celebrating was your celebrating women that were successful and creating an environment where they receive support in the work that they're doing. It really is a high energy room, and I would suggest that anybody get a chance to go to that, they do. So, you know, things work out funny. You know, funny. Did I know that when I had a... When I was starting all this in 11th grade, that I would have 2 daughters? And the answer is no. I have a daughter who happens to be an accounting major at the University of Florida, and so she will be amongst your peer group. Woo-hoo. And it will have the opportunity to do her internship next summer with one of the big 4 accounting firms, and she loves the industry, and so she will be part of your peer group here shortly. And then my older daughter, who's 26 and lives in New York City, is a producer at Bloomberg Television. It's been so interesting because throughout their life, they've come to me and they've asked me questions that I've had asked from women all over through my life, and questions about how do I do this? How should I be thinking about this? Whether it's about being promoted, salary, positioning themselves for leadership, whatever it is. And I laughed one day that my mom made the comment to them, and you know, it's funny with our parents, right? We don't know always what they think until it comes out in the most unsuspecting ways. And my mom said, you know, you should listen to your mom. She sure knows this stuff.
Aw, well, that's a great role model. It's a testimony to how you have exuberated your passion for women.
Thank you for saying that. But I always like to say, but. And the reason I say but and why this still matters is in the 2010 census, which we're going to be getting, obviously, a 2020 census in the next couple years, the workforce is about 47% women. If you take a look at different fields, women in business, we're at 50.84%. Fortune 500 CEOs, 5%. Mm. Women directors, 24%. Women in politics, percent of Congress, 23.7%. Statewide offices, 27.6%. State legislators, 25.4%. If you think in terms of 47% being the workforce and 50, almost 1% being the population, we are really, really behind the curve. Accounting. And I know a lot of women, or a lot of people think, oh, accounting has a ton of women. 60.6% of accountants and auditors are women, which is phenomenal. And you would say, well, we must have the farm team, right?
Right.
But then full-time CPA time at CPA firms is 51%. And then partners and principals is 24%.
Still a very small number based on the look of a CPA firm or CPAs out there in general.
We still aren't at the tables that we need to be at. And what I like to say is, I want, you know, they say break the glass ceiling. As I shared those three industries, I want to break the 25% barrier. I feel like 25% is the number a lot of different sectors hit for women, and there's a lot of celebrating going on, but we still have a long way to go if we want to have fair representation of our population, which we currently do not have anywhere in upper management, corporate decision makers, executive roles, and of course directors of boards, and how many women are sitting on boards.
Well, it is always refreshing when you do see the news and a woman is elevated to those high key positions in an organization.
So it goes back to, you know, why I talk about why it matters, the turn, pull, shove, catch. And this is kind of where I'd just like to talk a little bit more about it. You talk to women in from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, all of us have a different perspective of workforce and what's acceptable. And one of the things that I think we don't always do a good job is realize that we all have been there, done that, but at a different time and in a different way. And as women, we don't always look and value the way the other came up. You know, maybe I, in the 80s, had a certain way of dressing with the bow tie and
right,
the blue suit and pantyhose. And now I don't need to tell you it's not being that. It's, you know, I tell the joke about, you know, leaving meetings and I would be the only woman in the room and we'd all be having a really exciting conversation. And then the men would all take the right into the men's restroom and I'd be standing out the door going, wait, I'm not done talking about this. And I can hear them in there still talking. I mean, it was those simple little things, but now it's different and we have come a long way. As I like to say, we've come a long way, baby, but it hasn't changed how we interact with each other and how we treat each other. And that's the key. The key to success for women is supporting each other. And so for me, this whole idea of turn, pull, shove, catch is pretty simple. Turning means that you're conscious of looking around and identifying others that you see that should be identified or that could use your support, or if they had
lift them up,
if they had a little bit of help or a little bit of encouragement, that it would take them to a whole different level, you know? And because we as women prioritize relationship building, we need to schedule it. We need to make it part of our daily practice of what we do as a business. And I think if we do that, there are a lot of women that will be, the old saying is, you ask a man to run for Congress and you bring him and he says, oh my gosh, I can do this. You ask a woman to run for Congress and she says, am I qualified? Women have to become women that say, you know what? I don't know all the answers today, but I'm going to figure it out because I know I can do this. And with the help of other women, we can do that.
And I say philosophically, surround yourself with people that have those strengths that you may not have, but you lift each other up with strengths around you.
Exactly. You know, and connection building isn't one and done. And out of fairness, you know, the whole mentoring idea, mentoring is about chemistry. And so we can't assume that everybody's going to connect on the same level. But the understanding is one and done isn't going to cut it. Find your squad and tap in. I have this group of women that I call the Friends of Renee. And when I'm taking on a big project, I call them the fours. They're the first people I call. And I call them because they know me. They don't get their feelings hurt easily because they know I love them and I'm tough. And they'll give me straight talk when I need it. And I, no matter where I do these big projects, I always have a couple of them in tow, which is really a lot of fun.
I love it. That's a great idea. In fact, I have a Connect group of ladies. And the neat thing about that is getting together regularly is a great support system. And then even when we're not together regularly, we can call each other, we can text each other, we can tell them we're thinking of you. Is there anything you need? Because if you don't have someone to be accountable to or to nurture and help them thrive, then you're not helping those people that are around you.
That's exactly right. And then what I like to say too is look for women who are ready, and it's about their skills and their strengths versus the job they're in, the level they're working, what they look like, how they dress. Look for women who have the strengths and skills. What I like to say is they've been consistent in their performance and no one has really reached out. And that's where the pull comes from. Pull is very simple. It's amplify other women. And I love the term. When I first started talking about this, it really wasn't about amplifying. I didn't really think of it as amplifying, but it's such a perfect world. You know, we've gone through a lot of situations in our life when there's been the scarcity mentality that the pie is this big. And if the pie is only a certain 8-inch pie, then there's only 8 inches of pie that we can share. And a lot of times women have been in a situation where we were given a slice of that pie and told that was our slice. We were competing against each other. Mm-hmm. We weren't competing against the entire organization. And as we are now put in the place where we're not just going to be the one of two women and figure out who gets to be the next and then, you know, what is the other woman, we now are making the pie much bigger, and we're realizing that bringing in more women makes the pie better and bigger. Nice. And as a result of it, more women are being successful. You know, queen bee is a dated term. I feel like it's a dated term, but at the same time, I do think that there are women who have come up through the system that that has been a survival technique for them. It's not been about necessarily not supporting women, but of not knowing how to support women and not wanting to look different than the people that are in the room that aren't women. And so my experience with that is it's just as important to pull in a queen bee as it is anyone else to ensure that they see the benefits of what it is that can be done. There's a term that breaks my heart more than anything in context of women supporting women is when women say, I would rather work for a man than a woman. And I always respond back with, I would hope that you would rather work for a person who is a good leader and will understand and value you. And it's regardless of whether they're a man or woman.
So do you think that other women feel competitive against other women? Do you ever get that feeling?
Sometimes, and it goes back to the scarcity piece. And it's really, it's interesting because there are women in this community that are very high performing women who can do anything they want and they choose to help other women.
That's great.
And that's what it's really about, is I don't focus on the women who choose not to. I focus on the women that choose to, because I know they're the ones that are making the pie bigger. The third piece is shove. And shove's an interesting concept, because what shove does is it makes us get out of our comfort and get into more of a risk environment. And women tend to not take risk. And the reality is a lot of times they don't take risk because they just don't
fail.
Maybe, failing's good because we don't often get multiple chances to fail, right? So it's even bigger than what's inside of us. We see women that have failed and maybe have been sidelined or whatever because they got their shot, which is, you know, something we have to make sure it doesn't happen. But I like to call it the jungle gym. I didn't know I was an entrepreneur when I was coming up in my early career, but I knew one thing for sure, that if I stood in the ladder line, okay, if I stood in line and waited for my turn, it was gonna be a really long time. And for a lot of reasons. But what I learned is if I was creative and was willing to look at different ways to go towards the business, which is now entrepreneurial, that I would be more successful. I had a jungle gym career. I didn't start here and then go here. I started here and then I would reach way over here and I would try to get, you know, the next job. The key to shove is when you're confident enough in the world you're in and the support you have that you can let go of one bar of the jungle gym before you've got a firm grasp of the next. Right, that's a magic place.
So the fear of the unknown, releasing that fear. And taking those chances, leaps of faith.
Absolutely. And why? Because you know that if you fall, you're bouncy. You know, it's not, you're bouncy.
But and you get up.
And you get up, and there's a group of women who have shoved you that are going to be there for you. And then that's the last piece, and that's the catch piece. And that was added over over years for me, was shoving is great, and getting women out there and reminding them that they are, you know, they exceed you, that they need to go out and do greater things even. So that's the whole piece around catch. And catch is about, you know, you can take all the risk you want, but when you don't succeed, as I like to say, you fall and you're pretty bouncy, and you can get back up.
Yes.
And you can brush yourself off. But how fabulous is it when you get back up after you've bounced quite a few times and you brush yourself off and you look around and there are women there.
That's great.
The same women that turned and pulled and shoved you and gave you the belief that you could do this, that gave you the infrastructure to support you to do it. Now they're looking at you and saying, hey, you know what? That didn't work out exactly like we thought it would, but guess what? That's okay. Let's regroup and let's figure it out. And it's the catch that's the being there. It's the catch that allows us to have the confidence to go back out and do it again.
That's so great. Those are really great ideas. And what other things would you consider people should do to reach out to other women?
There's a Forbes article that I read, Forbes Women, March 2019, that talks about the power of the pack. Women have a serious benefit to the power in the pack. And you realize that when you realize your own strengths and you look around, that you make whatever table you're at better. So the Harvard Business Review study said, women with an inner circle of close female friends, contacts, are more likely to land executive positions with greater authority and higher pay.
Wow.
They don't make the same correlation for men. Men don't need to do this to be successful. We do. We need to do this.
And it could be our nurturing personalities, things along those lines.
It's the, a little, yes, and it's the sharing of experiences. It's the been there, done that. Mm-hmm. It's the looking across a table and seeing a woman look at you and say, I have been there. I have done that. I can share with you. It's funny, when you get to a certain age, you have a lot of experience. So whenever I start conversations with women and trying to support them, and not just women, but clients or whatever, I always say three things. Am I just listening? Do you want me to give you the answers? Or do you want me to go out and pound on somebody? And I learned that because I'm so into the catch part of it. And I'm so into the supporting women that sometimes I have to pull back and let other women tell me what's the best way for them to work through.
Right.
And that's what we can do for each other as a pack. We benefit from collaboration over competition, and we really benefit from building circles of trust.
I love that circle of trust element. We appreciate you, Renee, for your time today and sharing your insights on the key to supporting women and why it truly matters. This is definitely a message that is relevant to everyone, not only women. Can you tell us how we as women can get ourselves to that next level?
So the first suggestion is, my business tagline is seeing your business potential more clearly, but you could take business out and put life or whatever it is. But the key word there is clearly. And how can we support each other if we don't completely understand what it is and who we are that we're looking for or trying to accomplish? We don't have to have the answers to everything, because that's part of our opportunity is, you know, sometimes just got to fling out to that jungle gym.
Yep.
Right. But it sure is better if we've done some own personal self-assessment. It helps us as mentors. It helps us as mentees. It helps us as leaders. It helps us as managers, whatever it is. And what I like to say is, you know, when I started at Procter & Gamble, it was really, people say, what do you do? And I'd say, I work for Procter & Gamble. And then I ran a media firm that was nationally recognized, and people are like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, I work for this national media firm. And then I went out on my own, and I didn't spend time on clarifying who I was and what I wanted to do. I knew I had an excellent network. I had the ability to get to anywhere I wanted to, but when I got there, I really wasn't clear. And I jokingly say, so when people said, when I had my own business, what are you doing? I'd be like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was like, I couldn't even articulate it. And literally people would stare at me and I could see this look in their eyes, like, what is she doing? And so I had to work really hard on making that clear. And I share with you now that my clients are national in nature, and I call it my pea patch. I problem solve, I process develop, I do production, and I do facilitation, which I jokingly say starts with a PH. So my point in that is it's easier for people now to help and support me because I now can tell them where I need the help and support. Because a lot of times I will say to women at the end of a conversation, what can I do to support you? And they will look back and say, I'm good. And then I have to go back and say, what can I do to support you?
Right. And I think what's really good about your experience in that those fuzzy times is because you lived it, you can help share it and train people with them. And going back to your clarity, I just want to say I love your branding of your glasses. When you go to look up Renee, you'll see that she has these awesome glasses in her branding, on her business card. She wears this gorgeous Kate Spade glass bracelet. She wears these awesome glasses all the time. Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Pretty easy. It's through LinkedIn. So it's Renee Dabbs, and look me up. I would love to hear from you. I think that it's pretty clear when you take a look at my LinkedIn and kind of who I interact with, that I walk the talk of, you know, using an old term, of the work, not only with women, but then what I do professionally. And that is, I just try to create environments for women at organizations to be successful and exceed their expectations.
That is great. And so thank you, Renee. And we hope that you and our listeners will join us in June next year for our annual Women's Leadership Summit. You can find out more about our Women's Leadership Summit and additional resources, our continuing education opportunities, or have someone like Renee go to your office and elevate you or your organization. So visit our website at www.ficpa.org or call our office at 850-224-2727. Until next time, keep smiling.
Continue the conversation with the Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Become a member and follow us on social media for today's trends and hot topics.